Now it's recording. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, also known as the Sunshine Law, NJSA. (10:4-6). Notice of the 2025 meeting schedule was sent to the Daily Record and published in the Daily Record on February 3, 2025. The annual meeting list was also posted on the Municipal Bulletin Board in Town Hall, on the Town of Dover website, and submitted to the Town Clerk. As a reminder, there is no smoking in this building. There are two exits in case of emergency, and this meeting is not streaming on Facebook Live. However, the audio will be posted in a timely manner to the town website. Okay. The roll call?
Yes.
Chairman,
Present.
Chairman Frister?
Present.
Chairman Paul Smoke?
I am here.
Commissioner Richard Fox? Commissioner Larry Davis? Commissioner Gilbert Roman?
Here.
Commissioner Antonio Acosta?
Here.
Commissioner Austin Yeves? He's excused. Commissioner Tacy McCourt?
Present.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the minutes, April 3rd, 2025.
Chairman Frister? Vice Chair Smoke?
Sorry, point of order. I don't believe a motion and a second were made, so I'll make that motion to approve.
Chairman Smoke?
Yes.
Vice Chair? I'm sorry, Vice Chairman Smoke. Commissioner Fox?
Oh. He made the motion.
I'm sorry. Somebody second? He made a motion. I need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. So Chairman Frister.
Yes.
Vice Chair Smoke.
Yes.
Commissioner Fox. Commissioner David. Commissioner Roman.
Point of order.
Yes.
Only members who were present at the April 3rd meeting can vote on the minutes, I believe.
Okay. You were present on the last meeting?
At the last meeting? I don't know if I was present.
We'll have to check it on the minutes.
It's listed on the minutes.
It was in April.
You were not here. You have to abstain.
Yeah, true. Okay. Commissioner Acosta?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Point of order. I'm sorry. Per Robert's rules, only the commissioners present would be asked for a vote. There would be no recorded vote of anyone else who wasn't present. So the only people who should be asked for a vote would be those listed under who was present.
So we'll be Chairman Frister?
Yes.
Chairman Schmoke?
Yes.
Chairman Fox? He's not here. Chairman Yeves, he's excused. And then Commissioner McCourt.
Yes.
Do we have a quorum for that to be voting?
That doesn't require a quorum.
There's no require a quorum? Okay. The resolution.
Are we okay now?
Yep.
I need somebody to make a motion for the resolution.
You need a motion to approve it?
I wasn't here. I can't do it.
Okay. Chairman Fister?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schmoe?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox? Yeah, who made, I think I need a motion and I need a second. So can I?
So moved.
Okay.
Give me a second. Let me do it.
Can I call it? Okay. Chairman Fister?
Yes.
Okay. Vice Chair Schmoe?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox? Not here. Yves? Not here. Commissioner McCourt?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Applications?
We have the Z-2503, 13 Rich Boynton Road, Block 803, Lot 2.
Okay. Go ahead.
The applicant is proposing to construct a 47 by 79 utility storage building and associated improvements, including a 4-foot high chain link fence and retaining wall, concrete pavement and bollards. The subject property lies within the industrial district. Are those applicants here?
Yes, we are.
If you can please come forward.
Russell Anderson, Bertone Pacini, on behalf of JCP&L as it relates to this application. I want to thank all the board members and all the professionals here, because we all must be ducks to come out here on a night like tonight. So thank you for being here. This application is to build, as board member Acosta said, we're looking for a preliminary final site plan for an improvement, which is a storage building to be built on the site. There are also some C variances related to the existing building that's on the site, and we also have to have a D2 showing as to the pre-existing non-conforming conditional use. The site is in an industrial zone. There is a sliver of it in the R2 zone, which was not noted in my initial application. However, it's generally irrelevant for the purposes of this application because it's nowhere near the improvement. The property right now is being used as a lineman's yard and some offices. The proposed building is going to be a storage building. We're going to park trucks and other various pieces of equipment within the building, so there is no significant deterioration at the property, which ultimately is a benefit not only to JCP&L but to the ratepayers who, you know, have to support JCP&L to buy those trucks. We are looking for the two waivers or variances, depending on how the board wants to treat it. We have a minimum frontage issue. 200 feet is required under the code. We only have 68.7 feet, which is obviously a pre-existing nonconformity. And the side yard setback that is based on the building that's there now is supposed to be 30 feet, and we only have 27.8 feet. All of the proposed improvement is conforming in all aspects. It's within all setbacks, height, everything. So we don't have any concerns about seeking variances for that. And as you'll see from the people who are going to testify, the benefits of this application greatly outweigh the detriments. You're going to hear from Aaron Dickerson, who is our JCP&L representative. He is I'll call him the area manager for JCP&L, and he's specifically responsible for this site. The engineer who's going to testify is Dennis Keenan, professional engineer. He's been in front of this board, I'm sure, many times. But we'll go through to set him up. And the planner is Wayne Ingram. We are going to provide that testimony, and you'll see that we are providing an improvement that's going to be beneficial to not only the ratepayers, but the site and everything else. So without further ado, I'd like to bring up Mr. Dickerson to set up the project.
Aaron Dickerson.
Thank you, Mr. Rush. Aaron, you had you worked at First Energy. How long have you been at First Energy?
3 years.
And what is your current position at First Energy?
Project and program manager.
Okay. Would you give us a basic setup of what you're trying to do with the improvements at the site?
Sure. So we have storage of transformers, equipment, and like trucks and other things that are currently stored outside. The intention of the building is to bring it inside, pull things away from the river, so to minimize runoff, and try to prolong the life of our assets.
The garage itself, what does it look like? What's it made of?
To clarify, it's not a garage.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just a building. It's basically just open front. It's made of steel with siding, and it has, I believe, a metal deck.
You can confirm?
Yeah.
As far as the physical look of the building, is there a color to it? Is there?
I don't remember the color. It kind of matches the rest of our buildings.
Flat roof?
I think it's slightly sloped to allow with a gutter. So the rain and snow can, you know, melt and drain.
Sure. Is there an estimate about how long it will take to actually construct this utility shed? Call it that?
I believe the project is in two phases. The first phase is to handle the excavation portion. While we're doing that, we're going to be doing a site cleanup. So we're going to be removing some of the contamination. And then we're going to, phase two is to build the building.
What's the estimated completion date of the project?
I believe the plan is to finish it either end of 26 or sometime in middle of 27.
Now, obviously, we have a significant improvement. What is there anything else that's going to change on site? Will there be more people at the site?
No.
More traffic at the site?
No.
Are there going to be other alterations to the site in the future, or is this basically the only one that's planned?
Current, like, if we were to do future modifications, we would come back here.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the points that came back in one of the review letters was about signage. Is there any additional signage that's going to be on the property as a result of this improvement?
I don't believe so. Possibly some signs on the building itself, but nothing else.
Okay. And is there a landscaping plan of any kind for this?
You'd have to clarify with Dennis. I believe, no.
Okay. You know, Jason Hill has been a good neighbor. Hopefully it'll continue. I don't have any further questions for Mr. Dickerson. Someone else does.
Any board members have questions?
Chair, I do. Two, if I may. Currently, the site is what? Is it asphalt? Is it grass? What's there now? Is it a parking space?
So currently where we're going to be putting the building is on a concrete pad.
Is the pad generally open? Are there people parking there? Is it?
No. It's okay. Currently where they store the equipment. The idea is to just move the equipment and, like, trucks and stuff inside, put them under cover as opposed to just sitting out in the rain.
That was going to be my second question. The storage, the is it additional material that's being brought in to store, or it's already there, but it's kind of open?
It's already there. It's just sitting out in the rain.
It's being
wired. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other question from the member? If not, take a vote.
You may have another.
Yeah,
you may have something else.
You have another
public.
Meeting.
We have two more witnesses. Do the public have any questions? I guess we have to, or do we do that at the end?
I got any questions. I have to recuse myself because I don't like the first thing.
Sure.
Yeah, just there was a side conversation between the chair and the vice chair. It appears that the vice chairman may have a conflict and that he is a former JCP&L employee and collects a pension. Should he even be hearing this case, or should he?
His former employee is collecting a pension for his former employee. Erring on the side of caution. caution. If there appears to be a conflict, that we, to Aaron's on caution, you would basically tell him that he should recuse himself.
From the entire proceeding, correct?
Yeah.
Same as if somebody lived within the 200-foot boundary.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of lies along that argument. You know, I've never been presented with that question before of a former employee. Again, it's in this, but he's still receiving pension from that company.
Mr. Rush, we'll get, and only because we only have five members here.
Correct.
If we have a recusal, we
then
don't have a quorum.
Yeah.
So is there a possibility that we could waive the potential conflict as it relates to Mr. Schmolke to proceed? Or is that not within my authority to do?
I don't believe it's within your authority to do. I mean, obviously, I think it's his conflict. I don't know if the board would want to proceed with the understanding that this application could easily be appealed at any point. And obviously, any to take an appeal would probably be successful on the appeal. In my estimation, that I think would be successful on the appeal. I wish we would have known this before we started tonight. So,
me too.
Yeah. Again, typically, if, you know, let's put it this way, if we had six members here, I'd say he should just.
Yeah.
Does it change it with five? It shouldn't. So my opinion shouldn't change just because of the number.
I don't disagree with you.
That's I think he kind of has to confuse himself. Again, like I said, I've never been presented with that question. If anybody has anything to add to that, or if any of the professionals have ever seen this before or heard of it before, I'd be willing to listen to anyone's input.
It's a unique one, but...
I've served as a board attorney, and if I were sitting in your shoes, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
If there's the appearance of a conflict, then there's has got to recuse it.
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately...
Unfortunately, him recusing himself would deprive us of a quorum.
I agree.
So...
I
think given that, I would like to make a motion to table this application to the next meeting.
That's what I think is probably the safer and more conservative route to take here.
Again, I'm sorry. It's too bad we didn't know about this beforehand, but now we know. We'll be ready for next month.
The things happen, unfortunately, sometimes.
Of course.
We apologize to the applicant for that and for bringing what happened.
That's okay.
But I think we're going to have to, unfortunately, get too far into it, so we can start anew if you don't mind coming back.
It's fine.
Maybe it won't be raining that night.
Yeah. Right.
I'm
washing wear.
Mr. Smolke, I appreciate you bringing it up now as opposed to at the end. So I appreciate that. So thank you. We need to have
I guess
carry notice?
Obviously, again, I don't believe they should have to provide notice. We can announce it today that they'll be heard at the next meeting. When meeting is that?
October 2nd.
The next meeting will be October 2nd.
Okay, so any members of the public that were here for this application tonight, this application will be reheard on October 2nd, and that's obviously the only notice that needs to be done here.
We'll see you again, Mr. Rush.
I'm coming back.
Have a great time. Nice meeting you all.
Appreciate y'all.
So we need to make a motion to carry this to the next meeting. I'd make that motion.
I made the motion to table, so it needs a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
So now we have Z-2504. Well, actually, we don't have yet. Glenn is not here yet.
I think he's outside.
He's out there? Okay, he's just right out there.
Everybody, I'll see you guys next month, huh?
Next month?
Have fun.
I'll see you soon. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, let's see next week. Yeah, that's right. I'll find out from John.
If you're going to be on that application, for I'll give you a hug. Yeah, because we definitely want to talk about it before the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Everybody have a good night. Thanks.
You too.
Good
night. Thank you.
I honestly didn't think about it.
We need Glenn.
There he is.
Oh, hi.
Remember me? Man, myth, the tan legend.
That looks like Glenn.
Where do you want me to sit now? Out in the hall?
You.
On the roof.
I remember you.
You wanted me to read the application?
Yes, you want me to read it?
You can read it.
Sure. All right, I'm going to read the application. This is Z25-04 or 158 West Clinton Street, Block 703, Lot 8. The applicant, Dover Business Park, LLC, is seeking a Section 68 courtesy review of the existing use of the property at Block 703, Lot 8. According to the letter prepared by Kali Law, a portion of the property is currently utilized as a residential dwelling, which is not permitted within the district. The applicant has been issued a violation by the Town of Dover, dated March 28, 2025, under complaint number 1409SC2025-0033293-94, denoting no certificate of compliance for a legal dwelling on Unit C. There are no improvements on the site. The subject property lies within the industrial district.
All set?
All set.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members. Nice to see everybody. Larry Calley on behalf of the applicant for the record. I'm going to be pretty brief this evening. We think, Mr. Chair and members, it's a relatively straightforward application, but a little technically nuanced because of Section 68 and the Section 70 alternatives here. But I'm going to work the board through what we're looking to do and a little bit of the site history. We will probably have a single witness, Steve Smith, who we're going to swear in shortly when he testifies as needed as a licensed professional land surveyor and a professional planner, as the board knows. Yes, sir.
Before you get started, I realize I'm kind of the new kid on the block. Is everybody, all the professionals, were you sworn in at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, we did do that at the first meeting. So I think
for you. And how about you, bud?
Why don't we do it to be safe? Okay,
I don't care about you.
All right, sir.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth proceeds before the board? That's something you got?
I do.
And who are you?
Alex McLean, a professional planner.
Okay, and you work with Don McDonough?
I do.
And you have appeared last year, and you'll be appearing off and on instead of John for the board.
Correct, yeah.
All right. And what I would like to have in the minutes, please, is to reflect that he has now been sworn in, he's now been accepted as a professional, mm-hmm. and that is good until the end of this calendar year.
Okay.
So we don't have to do that again. And Steve should reflect the same thing. I'm sorry, Larry.
No, that's okay. No problem at all. That's business you got to take care of. Thank you, Glenn. So a little bit of background on how this got started. This was not flagged because there was some nuisance use of a resident on the property. A tenant had always been here. I'll tell you the history shortly, but what happened was the residential tenant on this large property, the Dover Business Park property at 158 West Clinton, had applied for certain permitting through the state. So when that was vetted at the local level, the town came out and said, this is the address of the resident we're looking at in the background check. Oh, wow, there's a residence here on this property, this industrial property. I don't think that's supposed to be here. It got flagged. It went to Bill's office. Bill Island then issued the violation. I then spoke with Bill. I spoke with Alex Dougherty. I spoke with John McDonough. And I said, look, this has been here for decades. We have the violation. We'll deal with that. But in the meantime, we're going to appeal to the Board of Adjustment, which is the applicant's right under the statute, for a Section 68 review, which is effectively the board considering a certification of this pre-existing non-conforming use. Alternatively, if the board says, you know, we just don't see enough evidence on there. We really can't go back mentally 100 years and confirm that it's been there, whatever the years are. Then we proceed with the D variance case because this use is there, it has been there, we want it to remain there. So it's an alternative request to Section 68 and Section 70. We may or may not need the variance. That's up to the board after we go through our proofs. And that's what brings us here. So this property has had a resident living there, a single resident. It's been a caretaker. You know, sometimes we call it someone on fire watch. Back in the day, we would call it that for many years, going back at least until the 1960s. Predating the current ownership of the property, who's never had a problem or any violation. In fact, we were thinking about redeveloping this property and still might. But this caretaker's residence had been there with a single person in there who had always had a connection to the property itself, maintaining the property. And that's the case today under the current ownership, which has been there for a number of years. My client, the applicant, inherited a resident. There's a new resident there, and there's always been a connectivity to using the property. Nevertheless, residential use is not allowed here. We predate the code, but we're here before the board because that violation is pending. So a few things is Steve Smith is here to testify as a licensed professional planner as needed to justify the variance warranting the resident to stay on this property as needed should the board deem that we need to go through that protocol of the use variance protocol. I tend to bore people and they leave. I'm used to that. I was right on time almost. It was about 3 minutes. I mean, that's par for the course with me. No problem. I'll give it a moment. Glenn told me I was boring you, so I no, not a problem. So, for the brevity, for the sake of brevity here, it's been a caretaker's residence. That's what it is today. That's all we want it to remain. It's a single residential unit. We require one parking spot. The resident uses the existing refuse containers on the property. It's a very innocuous and benign type of use. The site history can corroborate that this has been here for a number of years. What I can certainly introduce into evidence for whatever value it has, you know, your counsel can advise you. I've got a letter from the prior owner, the Harris family, who have owned this property since 1937. It's a letter dated April 9th of this year to my client after this all surfaced, saying we've always had someone on the property. It gave us a sense of security. Someone's been there as far as I can remember, and they've owned it back to 1937. So I'll introduce that letter over to you, and Paul, I can give you a copy, and we can mark this as Exhibit A1 with the board's permission.
I'd like to just read this into the record. I don't know if anybody knows Elrich's Incorporated, a guy by the name of Peter Harris.
I think everybody has a copy.
You know what Elrich is.
They do.
We do know Peter Harris.
I've got a few.
No, this is new.
Oh, this is new?
Yeah.
Because you sent me one, and I
think they
said everything.
Yeah, it might just be a different one. I could certainly pass around the third version.
This is the
This is dated 4-9, the one that we're using?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what council's done is submitted a letter from a previous owner who apparently couldn't be here, but he's probably old enough now that he doesn't want to be here.
It's true.
And normally something like this would not be available to the board for consideration. I have a slightly different position on something like this. This, to me, seems to be more of an historic record. If you had a Dover Historic Society, my guess is Mrs. McGillicuddy or somebody else would be coming in and saying, we know exactly what's been going on. You have a letter from Peter Harris, though, that says they've always had it. They've had it since his family owned the property from 1937 to 2011. They've always had a watchman there. So I guess the question is, what else, if anything, does the board think that it needs? Normally I would be pretty hard on council because it is somewhat hearsay. However, it's so old and it's the original owner and there isn't much in controversy here. You either had somebody live in there or you didn't. I don't know whether you found any tax records or anything, Larry.
We did not, but I can tell you that our understanding is also the other important component is not just the age of the residents here. It's been continuous throughout. There's always been a caretaker on this property, so the use has been continuous, never abandoned. Tax records did not yield anything that was helpful to us because this was always a tenant, so it was always the property owner just paying the taxes for the entirety of the property. And there are a number of tenants on this property, commercial tenants on this property. So everything goes through ownership. But our understanding is this has been a caretaker's residence for many years. And in sync with that, the current caretaker that's on this property handles snow plowing, shoveling, some light landscaping and maintenance, overnight security watch on the property. It's a large property. We don't want anything bad happening on this property. We need to maintain it for our tenants and ourselves. So it's in keeping with the historic use of this residential unit, someone on there doing what I like to call the fire watch overnight. That's what's been since then through today and proposed to continue.
So rather than him going through a whole bunch of gyrations, actually it'd be Mr. Smith having to do it.
Right.
The question I have for the board is, and we obviously have to hear from the public also, is there any public here on this application?
Yes.
Do you know about this property too?
Yes.
Do you have information that's different than what we're talking about?
No, I just what was seen through your files that were open to the public.
You want to just take a break and let her come up?
Certainly. Yeah, certainly.
It's really not, I'm here to get educated by you. I've never been in the apartment and been in the building. You know, I couldn't tell you that.
All I want to know is what you have found out, because I have a letter here that you don't know what it says. I don't think you.
Yes, I know what it says. You know, because it was part of the Dover.
Yeah, from 19. They've owned the property since 1937 to 2011. It's always been a caretaker's cottage.
That's what the letter states, and that's all I know.
Okay.
The letter states.
Okay.
I wouldn't know if that actually happened.
That's all.
Yeah.
Understood.
But I have a few questions, if I may, Chairman.
Sure.
Is this a paid position?
Yes.
Saying it's a
yeah, the caretaker is an employee of the property owner, yes.
Okay. And the apartment, first floor, second floor?
Second. It's on the second floor.
One bedroom, two bedroom?
It's one bedroom, I believe. It's a one bedroom unit.
One person living
there's
there?
There's one occupant there.
It's actually a studio.
Okay.
Technically a studio? Even smaller,
so
studio unit.
One of the summons that were issued was a certificate of non-compliance on a legal dwelling. If we go ahead and, for lack of a better term, grandfather this in,
mm-hmm.
It's still subject to code enforcement going in there, making sure there's a smoke detector and a fire extinguisher and all
the
those things.
Yes, of course.
We need to ensure that this board approves a conforming apartment, a legal apartment.
It's a habitable unit that we're proposing. It's got to meet the code requirements, local and state, absolutely.
That would be okay. A condition.
Yep, I just want to be on record saying
yeah.
that as a condition
you're
of this
on,
board,
on,
should, God forbid, something happen.
No, no, it's a good point. And to that point, this had not been a makeshift unit. This is a real apartment unit.
Yep.
So I'm certain it already meets the standards.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a unit. It's a unit. It's a residential apartment unit, as it always had been. So I'm certain it already meets the standards, but it's subject to conformance with them for certain at any rate.
So upon the transfer of another tenant, that tenant would be assumed a watchman?
Yeah, so our ask for the board, and this gives the board a sort of level of control and a leash, if you will, on what we're asking for. We're not asking for a separate and distinct residential dwelling unit for anyone. We're not trying to monetize this for varied purposes. Our goal is to keep this as a residential dwelling unit that's got that connection point to the property. So our request is that whoever's there, they're going to have some affiliation with ownership in the property, that they are in that caretaker role. So they will have a function, the resident will have a function on this property perpetually. That's our ask.
Yeah.
It's not just to have this be another apartment on the rent rolls in the town of Dover.
To be that council
member. I think it's effectively abandoned at that point.
I think so too.
Okay. Is the resident here?
Yes.
Would the resident testify and just agree to everything that we have said, that he lives there, he's the caretaker?
He could confirm that, yeah. I mean, the agreement would have to come from the property owner, the applicant, you know, for the conditions, but we can certainly have the resident come up here, introduce him, and he can add a little more context and color.
Could he just real quickly just state his name,
yeah,
address?
Certainly.
2-3 questions, so it's on record.
No.
Come on, you got to come up. You'll have to get sworn in.
Sir, raise your right hand, please. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth of proceedings before the board tonight, so you got?
Yes, sir.
What is your name, sir?
Eric Scott.
Okay, Matt.
Okay, Eric, you heard our dialogue with the board members and the...
S-C-O-T-T?
Correct. E-R-I-C.
Okay.
Okay.
The dialogue with board members, my proffer as to your affiliation with the property owner and the entity there. Can you confirm that all of that is accurate?
Correct.
Keep it lean for now. Okay. You're affiliated with the property owner, you maintain the property.
Oh, yeah.
You do what I've been calling the fire watch, the overnight watch, and you handle property maintenance.
I am on call 24/7, basically.
Okay. And you describe the unit correctly? Location,
mm-hmm.
size, type of the unit?
Absolutely.
Okay. You've got one personal vehicle you keep on the property?
Yes.
And when you have refuse and recycling, you take it to
existing containers. We have dumpsters on
the
property.
And you use that?
Yes.
Any incident at all, ever, since you've been on this property?
No.
No. Your understanding is that prior to your tenancy, there was a tenant in place prior to you for a number of years as well?
Correct.
Okay.
That's all I have.
The only question I have, only because it's not evident by, and I wouldn't expect it to be evident by the survey, but I was trying to envision where exactly the apartment is.
We can locate it with the filed sheet if you'd like for you.
Yeah.
So, Steve, without testifying, you could point it out. Otherwise, we'll qualify you. Testify? Your hands up. I know. He's already talked.
I do.
And who are you?
Stephen Smith, Jamin Engineering. I'm a licensed professional planner and licensed professional landscaper in the state of New Jersey.
And you've been accepted before this board with your qualifications?
I have.
All right, can you just answer that one simple question?
Yes. What I did that the board did not have copies of is I went back into our archives. We did the first work on this project in 1996 for Mr. Harris. And this was a site plan that was done, that was submitted in March 11th of 98. And what it did was it outlined the different uses. And this section down at the bottom is the second story that on the main building that comes, you shift it up, it comes up into this area. So the apartment unit is in actually the northeast corner on the second floor.
So it's essentially over the entrance to the record store.
Over the entrance to the record store?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought it to be there, so thank you for clearing that up.
We want to call it A2.
We are going to call it A2 because A1 is the letter, I guess, right?
Yes.
Steve, just mark it as A2. I do have a question from my engineer. This is the record store that we just did the application on.
Correct.
2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Recently, yes.
Recently. This never
did not come up during that application.
Is there a reason that it didn't?
I wasn't aware that there was a resident sale.
It's not about you, Steve.
Yeah, I know. It was not part of that application.
Okay, but the fact is it is before us, and us taking action on it by putting the record store in, technically that would have intensified the use and everything else in it.
Correct.
Okay.
That we have records from our plans that it was there from at least 1968. We don't have it before that, but we know at least to that.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Any other comments, questions?
No. You want to open it to the public, Mr. Chairman?
Sure. We'll open to the public. Anyone from the public like to be heard?
I have a few questions.
Why don't you come up so we get you on the tape?
Sure.
Are you going to make any statements or are you just going to ask questions?
Both.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth proceeds before the board finds out?
I do.
What is your name?
Irene Worth.
Okay, Irene, thank you.
I don't know. Well, I'm just going to ask. Never hurts. Eric, is this Eric's full-time job is security? He said 24/7. So are you there 24/7 for the security and surveillance of the whole property?
Well, his job's not, I'll clarify that before you can answer. His job not security. That is part of the duty of being there overnight during the dormant hours when nobody else is on this dark and large property that's multi-tenant.
I understand
he's
that.
He's the employee of the property owner who owns this real property.
Okay.
If you want to add to that or correct me, feel free, but I don't think I may have captured the answer.
No, it's not right. But...
Okay, so he is the employee. It's his full-time job to be there to take care of this building. Is that, I understand that correctly?
His job includes property maintenance on this property.
Right, so he doesn't have a full-time job somewhere else.
He might have multiple jobs. We are stipulating that he is affiliated with this property. He is not just a tenant, a residential tenant. He works for the property owner on this property, and his functions and duties include maintenance and security, snow plowing, and the like of this property. Maintenance, let's call it, is sort of a general term.
Okay.
Am I allowed to ask if he, I don't, this is technical, whatever, tiptoe here, but is he allowed to have another resident live in there with him, or is this strictly the watchman's office that became the watchman's apartment?
Yeah, well, if he has a spouse, I mean, that goes beyond zoning, you know, the whole notion of who's your family, who lives with you. So if you have a spouse, a significant other, a partner, a life mate, whatever you want to call it in today's day and age, I don't think he could be precluded from a zoning perspective from having someone there with him.
Okay.
But this is a studio unit. This is not Animal House in there, obviously. There's not even room for that, so.
Well, it's 850 square feet, my understanding.
Thereabouts.
It's a pretty big studio.
It's perspective, it's all relative, I don't know.
Well, it's close to my first house, and we had three bedrooms and a bath.
What other questions?
Okay. My biggest concern would be that, my biggest concern is health issues, okay? You're living over an auto body place, you're living over a paint place, and there's a lot of fumes and stuff up there. We'd never want kids to be there. Wouldn't want kids playing in that parking lot. My fear, I'm okay with the fact that it is a watchman's office slash apartment, but I don't want to see that, oh, wow, we got away, that's good, it's legal now. And now we're going to turn the entire second floor into all these apartments.
They couldn't do it.
In an industrial zone.
They couldn't do it.
That's what I want to hear.
They can't do that. You heard it.
That's very good. That's what I want to hear.
That. No.
Okay, so this will remain as an employee situation.
That's what we proposed about 15 minutes ago to the board, yes, ourselves.
I'm just understanding it. I want to reiterate it to make sure I understand it. I heard you.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Just keep going.
That's my biggest concern.
What, by the way, where do you live?
3 Cafe Terrace, Denville.
3 Cafe Terrace, Denville.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Is that within 200 feet of the property?
No, I own a property within 200 feet of the property, 2 Davis Avenue.
That's the answer. There we go.
I don't live there.
Denville.
You asked me where I lived.
Did because they asked you the right question.
Okay.
Denville was not helpful.
Dover
was. So now we're good.
Okay. I'm good.
Thank you.
Mr. Keynes, if I may, I think valid questions were brought up that I do think that this board would be well within our jurisdiction to get answers to, were asked just now. Is this Mr. Scott's only job?
We can answer that. I don't see the zoning relevance to that at all, but we can certainly humor that inquiry. Is this your only job?
Yes.
The punchline is a yes, sir.
Thank you. And are there any other residents?
No.
That live within the unit?
No.
Does Mr. Scott have regular visitors?
He might.
I mean, that's getting a little personal.
No, I think the point is that the questioner was asking is a valid one, especially in town right now where we do have a lot of issues with overcrowding.
And that's not why this was flagged,
correct.
Just to be clear.
Correct.
This was flagged for completely different reasons.
I know, but we have to make sure that we are authorizing things that, to Commissioner Acosta's point, are conforming. And so I just want to make sure that this board is clear and that the community is clear in our vote that we take tonight that we are doing that and that this is not, as you said, Animal House, and that this is simply someone who was given a job, provided on-site housing, which he pays for, and that's it.
That's it. I think we're very clear on that point, and you know, I'll be clear on something from a zoning perspective, and you can defer to your counsel on this. There is a divide between zoning rights and enforcement. Right now we're here for a certification of a pre-existing use that has not been challenged by anybody. We know this has gone back 60-plus years. And in fact, what was interesting anecdotally was the application I was before the board for a very contiguous and adjacent parcel. They weren't even aware it was there because it's so innocuous and benign. That's how it's been. I understand townwide enforcement for non-permitted units. I understand that. I see it in Dover. I do a lot of work in Dover. I do a lot of redevelopment in this town. I do a lot in Morristown, too, where we see it in Morristown as well. I understand that. I understand those goals and purposes. That's not being undermined by letting the caretaker continue a residence here that predates, you know, my life by at least 20 years, maybe 30. I don't know. It depends what year when I go back. We'll go up to 37. It predates all of us. But I understand. It's a noble pursuit. We are not contravening that with the proposal to have a nothing more than a status quo of the continuation of the residence of this single unit for this gentleman.
And for the record,
or a future tenant.
For the record, I did not think you were. I wanted it simply put on the record. So thank you.
Certainly.
Commissioner, have any other questions?
Do you know other members of the public? Okay. Did you have anything else?
I am satisfied with what's been presented.
I make a motion that we approve this application. Now, I believe there are two ways that we could do this, correct?
Yes, sir.
We want the approval. Can I tell me? It's the first one.
We would like the Section 68 recognition by the board. And, you know, and that forever moving forward is the fingerprint that, yes, this property does have a resident on there. It has had a resident on there since maybe back to 1937 or at least the 60s. That resident has always been a caretaker in this unit, and it still exists, and it may continue until if and when it's abandoned, you know, by the applicant. I think that's the cleaner approach than granting a use variance, because the board hasn't heard testimony on particular suitability, the positive, negative criteria, things like that, you know, getting to all the academia of planning, which we'd like to avoid as much as Steve would like to testify for the next 2 hours on it. You know, so I think that's the first shot at it. If the board agrees that we've met that standard, I think the inquiry can end there, and that's how it can be approved. But I defer to Glenn, and if he agrees with that or not.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this under Section 68, just citing that the town still inspect the property.
That's a requirement of the town.
Not much.
I'll second it.
I have a motion second. Roll call.
Chairman Frister?
Yes.
Excuse me. Just in the future, the chairman always has the privilege of going last.
And going?
He always votes last.
Oh, the last. Oh, I thought we started with the chairman. I think that's what you told me the last minute meeting.
No, you never told you that. I know that.
I think so, because I had to start that way, but it's okay.
Always votes last.
No problem.
The tiebreaker. That's why he gets the big money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Commissioner.
Nicer chair, too.
Commissioner McCord?
Yes.
Commissioner Acosta?
Yes.
Commissioner Roman is not here, and no. Commissioner Davis is not here. Commissioner Fox is not here. Vice Chair Schmoke.
Commissioner Roman is.
Oh, here. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Schmoke,
yes.
And Chairman Fister.
Yes.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you folks shepherded this to the board very expeditiously for us. So I want to thank you, Paul, and the staff and everybody for making sure we got here quickly. This mattered a lot to the applicant as well as the tenant. So we thank you for your time and helping us dispose of this matter quickly.
But you could certainly speak with the construction department and schedule, let's get some inspections. I'm more concerned, quite frankly, about the fact that I don't know when the structure was inspected for fire. So,
yeah.
That's really
a good point.
So my suggestion is you want to wait receipt of it and then work with Bill this
week. We will. And we actually have a meeting with Bill tomorrow about this property completely unrelated to this. So we're going to report back to him the outcome of the zoning board meeting, as well as the ask that this come in for for a CO inspection, a CCO inspection promptly. We're glad to do it.
I think that takes care of what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
It's a big item. Thank you, folks. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
continue?
Yes, you can. You can read.
Okay, moving on to case Z25-05226 East McFarland Street, also known as Block 1318, Lot Number 9. The subject's property currently consists of an asphalt parking lot with a concrete pad that contains broken cinder blocks within the C2 General Commercial District. The applicant proposes to develop the site into a used car dealership containing a one-story office building with a 480-square-foot footprint. Site improvements consist of on-site parking, drainage, landscaping, and signage. The application is exempt from Morris County Planning Board review.
I'm AJ Cardile. I'm the attorney for the applicant. I just want to start by saying that the property has always been used auto sales since 65, and I think in around maybe 2008, I guess they, you know, abandoned it, fell into kind of disrepair. Now it is what it is today. You know, my client intends to rehab it and bring it back to what it previously was. In order to do that, because it's existing non-conforming, he needs the variances just based on the dimensions of the lot itself. He submitted all of his materials, and I guess the one is about, you know, the two with the lot square footage and the frontage, those are, you know, existing non-conforming. That's just how the lot is. The other one with the coverage area, being that it is like an auto sales place, they need additional, you know, asphalt and parking for the vehicles. But they have a drainage plan in place. Do you guys have any questions regarding
the sign?
Oh, the signage?
Yeah.
You know, the architect, could comment better on the signage, but we did see the notes, and we plan on probably adjusting it based on what was cited in the review letter with the DOT and that part of the signage. But you, how many members do we have?
We have everyone but an alternate.
Everyone.
We're missing one alternate.
Yeah, okay, just one alternate.
So we have 8 members, is the answer.
Yes, 8 members.
So you're down a number of
them. There's also no guarantee that 8 members will be here.
That's true.
Yeah.
You never know.
normally not a full house.
And this is kind of an odd night, though, because we just came out of the summer and the storm and everything else. And I would say, normally, I think the attendance is pretty good here, although I haven't seen you all in a while.
Eight's better than five.
Yeah. We do this all the time. He does it all the time. He does it all the time. He does it in different forms all the time. I would be thinking, looking hard as to whether you want to go forward. But I'm not telling you again.
No, I wouldn't say.
Dover likes to be user-friendly, and they like to help people. But with only five members, one no vote, and you're done.
Perhaps we can go through some of the comments, some of them be answered. Well, the signage of one of them, they were asked to go back on as an additional variance. We're going to take care of that. Some of the other comments, I believe, are ministerial. We'll be able to address those by the next board, fortuitously, of course, for us, but not waste this time and presentation to hear your comments, to listen very carefully to your comments, and we'll adjust that. And then towards, you know, the end, we'll listen perhaps to a recommendation, you know. I presented, I'm not sure I'll be sworn in a minute, but I presented in the state of New Jersey very many times over the course of 30 years. I have a substantial experience.
I'm sorry, who are you?
The architect, Emmanuel Cabracus.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Word tonight to help you guide?
I do.
All right. Did you send out a set of plans or did you just pocket them tonight?
Is that number one?
These? Yeah,
is that true?
Yes,
one right,
oh, right there.
Okay,
you have everything.
Okay, do that. Steve, what are you thinking?
Hey there, dear. I think it might be beneficial for the board to see the presentation. Probably some constructive feedback that the applicant.
All right, so let's spend 10, 15 minutes seeing,
sure,
the presentation. No more than that, though.
I think that's fair to the benefit of both sides.
Right, because it's going to be a do-over anyway if the members don't review the tapes, and you never can tell about that, and that's why I kind of don't like to do it in bits and pieces.
I think where this one's at, there's going to be a difference. Well, I'll say before you launch into any presentation,
yes,
I do have a digital copy of the plans.
Okay.
So I think you want to reference the point where you want to go.
Sure.
Point it to the board benefit, so on and so forth.
You giving this away or no?
Thank you.
No, I didn't get it back. Ladies and gentlemen, Emmanuel Cabracus, registered architect in the state of New Jersey since 1995. I presented at least 30 or 40 boards in the state, plus additional states. I graduated in 1992 from Pratt Institute with a professional degree in architecture, matriculated in New Jersey as my home state in 95, and I have a practice in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. And I'm happy to be here. So I've reviewed the comments.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Instead of diving into the comments here,
sure,
maybe for the board's benefit, kind of existing conditions and then just what's proposed.
Sure.
So they see it.
There's an existing site about under 7,000 square feet. It's a fully impervious site. It was a site of an existing single-family residence, as far as we can tell, and we'll be developing, well, basically the entire site's in the sense of parking, and we'll be improving it with a small structure of a few hundred square feet. The primary use will be a used car dealership, and the building is just to take care of small administrative work. It will have basically one, perhaps two occupants for the purposes of car sales. We have plans to do building signage and then a freestanding pylon sign. I will say for the edification of everyone here, we read the ordinance that had been later updated. There was either an ambiguity of the wording or so on, but we're going to adjust the pylon sign to make it fully conforming with the ordinance. It was drafted at 1 foot higher than the building, which is not allowed by ordinance, which will correct as well. We're taking care of, we don't have any net increase in impervious surface. We're taking care of the on-site drainage by way of dry wells. And basically, we have approximately 22 vehicles. We're taking care of, guest parking, handicap, conventional, small building, perhaps this size. Two rooms, small toilet office, and that's about it.
Are you looking at 8,200?
8,200. 480 square feet, single story office. Just cute, halls of building. We've updated the building materials. It'll be a small band of stone. A good quality fiber cement hardy plank in terms of, and we can update between now and the next meeting as early as next week and resend the updates of the drawings according to the comments and things of the press. In the rear property line bordering the residential properties, a 6 foot high solid PVC fence for the purpose of privacy. And that's approximately it. In terms of setbacks, we conform. In terms of height, we conform. In terms of bulk, we conform. In terms of building coverage, we conform. In terms of pervious coverage, we conform. The existing curb cut will remain as is, ergo the term existing. As is from the existing condition that you have today, we're not exacerbating the development. It's basically a flat site, repaved, taking care of existing curb cuts with a small building, and the basis of that is really parking, which is the function of the car sales. Ministerial, in my estimation, net infill and outflow being that we won't have a deep site and so on, will be close to net zero in terms of soil mitigation and so on. Simple utilities, they're all open to the street and so on. We'll take care of that with the building department. They mentioned tree removal. There will be none, for there is none.
Sorry,
we have
a tree
removal. We're not taking down 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 trees. We're not taking down any. As a matter of fact, we're going to do our small best efforts just on the line of the sidewalk, a small landscape area, 6 by 18. 2 by 18, just low cover brush, something to soften, net decrease in impervious, if that's, you know, of interest, that always is. Again, the idea is to maximize the availability of parking cars, because that's the primary use of this. And again, the location of the sign will be corrected for the next meeting.
This whole area will be paved in?
As it is now, yes, sir.
But will it be repaved? You said as it is now.
No, no, no. Meaning we have 100% paved surface now,
it's
and
all
it
impervious.
Will remain. Yeah.
It will remain impervious.
Well, we're going to reduce it some. Actually, we're going to reduce 4.5%, 5%. It will be milled. It will be repaved, new striping,
yeah.
Good condition. It's a substantial investment, and so on. It's. I don't think they're going to try to sell cars just by a flag ticket. It's, you know, presentability is important for the business, for the town, for everyone.
Is this one reflected on the plans?
Some of it. The conversation about the pavement is in the plans currently, yes.
We have pavement details on the last page, signage details.
I think this should be treated as a work session so that the board members, you guys can hear what's going on, treat it as a work session. No comments on the variances or anything else. But if you have tinkerings or whatever, give Steve the cue or the witness, and let's just go from there. And I'd spend another 5-10 minutes. However long you like. We're all dressed up. So.
I have one non-variance-related question.
Yep.
Lighting.
Yes.
So the only lighting I see is on the building.
That is correct.
There will be no lighting within the lot itself.
That is correct.
The lights that are being used will provide enough light for them to do business after dark, or they're going to close at 5?
No. Well, the ownership will give testimony. I don't know exactly at what time, but we have photometrics done for the entire property. We use building-mounted lights. So they can conform more to a vernacular type of building as opposed to make it more of a shopping center type thing where they will spill and flood over. Your conventional parking lot light, by the time you raise the canopy, it will spill over onto either the right-of-way, other property. We chose, and it wasn't a hard lift. They're building-mounted lights. They're cut off. They're of a certain nature that they don't stream straight out. They're not high-pressure sodium lights that will scream onto the right-of-way. They're angled down. We did photometrics.
This is simple.
Yeah.
He's asking
building-mounted
all the right
lights.
Questions. He's asking all the right questions. There's a lighting diagram on sheet A700.
Yeah.
Were you content with that, Stephen?
One of the comments in the review letter is to provide a table and the compliance with bulk ordinance. So I am expecting that in the revised set of plans.
What do you mean by bulk ordinance?
So the ordinance has light levels that you're allowed to have in some of the pavement areas, things
okay.
like that. So the table you put together is going to tell me what you're proposing versus what's allowed. This way,
min-max, and we fall within.
But also tie it to the ordinance requirements.
Sure.
Because it may be a design waiver.
And you're gonna be surprised. The ordinances here are somewhat more sophisticated than what you usually see in a lot of towns down in Bergen County and stuff.
Yeah.
We have one of the most advanced guys doing the ordinances that we're working under. It's a form-based code. So it's different than what you used to.
Okay.
Is that putting it fair, Steve?
Fair way to put it.
Specifically, section, could you just reference it?
All right, if you want to reach out, we can
go. Steve, just a point here. So you have your letter from September 3rd. So you call out three variances here. You got the lot area, frontage and the lot coverage. So just to be clear, we don't have an issue with the impervious lot coverage anymore. That's been addressed in these current drawings?
It has.
Okay, so
is there an issue with the lot coverage?
The lot coverage still exceeds the 80%.
Okay, all right. I thought that, because
there's a little bit of back and forth in the plan set. There's a reference to the C3 zone, which doesn't have an impervious coverage limit. They're actually in C2, which has the 80% coverage limit. It's also tied to the conditional use
mm-hmm.
through that zone. So there is a variance for the impervious coverage.
Okay. Yep.
Even though it's an existing non-conforming.
It's
absolutely
correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I may have heard him say that it was addressed. That's why I was a little
thrown off by that.
It was a fair flag.
Yeah, okay.
We'll note that on the schedule.
I got a question for you.
Yep.
If vehicles need to be worked on, where would that be performed?
Off-site in the garage.
It's going to be off-site?
Yes.
Okay. I would suspect that would be a condition of any approval because the site is so tight.
Yeah, that's one. It's
there's no, yeah, there's no, yeah, that's, there would be no, qualm by the ownership to just agree to that stipulation.
I have a few things. Being that it's a workshop, so a little bit of a conversation. When I was reading it, it says it does not require Morris County Planning Board, but this is still subject to Route 46 and
DOT. I think, but I don't know with the change whether that triggers the DOT.
There's also a proposed utility connection, even if the driveways remain. I think there's a proposed sanitary connection going out into Route 46, so they are subject to DOT access permits in that sense.
Would that bring up the conversation of a left turn out of there, potentially? Is there a concern?
DOT probably won't look at it from that level. They'll just look at the trench opening. If the driveways are going to remain, they're there. I don't think there's any restrictions on them right now, and they're not. Based on what I'm hearing, they're not generating more trips than were associated with that original driveway configuration. So I don't think the DOT would look at the movements to and from the driveways.
Okay. One of the concerns that we have and that we deal with as a community on these sort of smaller size lots and used car dealerships specifically is car transporters. Mm-hmm. And so when there's cars that are being picked up or dropped off, not a single person driving it, you know, it's a car transporter. I don't believe that the current site would allow a car transporter to go in there and do what they need to do and come out, right?
At least do it properly.
Right, they would have to probably utilize the emergency lane on Route 46.
I will shelf that because I'm not the operator, and technically I don't think I can testify to that. We have made this discussion. They have other facilities in other parts of the states working on. I don't see that there would be any situation of having car transport, 53-foot tandems, and so on. Again, another stipulation as to the use and so on and so forth. You know,
you're going to have to bring the owner here?
No, but a representative of the owner. But I could speak to – he does have another facility
right. That
has an on-site repair. It's a larger facility. It's located in Bergen County.
Right.
So he would likely utilize that. And I believe he may have a second facility as well. But the one I'm aware of in Bergen County does have a garage with some bays, and it's a little bit – it's definitely larger than this.
So, Mr. Acosta, just to kind of address the comment you made there, mm-hmm. That is one of the questions in my review letter, essentially, is to discuss the delivery situation. And for the applicant's benefit, my concern with it was both the Route 46, anybody operating there, as well as the residential zone that's kind of on the backside of this. I don't think it would be to anyone's benefit to load and unload from either of those locations. So that's something I think the applicant wants to consider.
Yeah, definitely no room. There's no room. Unless he brings it in a tow truck and pulls in into the lot, which is...
Or has 20 people drive 20 cars, you know.
Yeah, you would have to bring one car at a time.
Not feasible, right.
Okay, so thank you for including that in your note. If there were oil changes or something, that is subject to another variance, right? That would then constitute as a car repair.
The answer is different. To your question is yes, but they've already stipulated. We don't have room to do it. So one of the things is if you were to approve this, one of the things I'd be recommending, and I'm sure Steve would be too, I'm sure everybody would be, is that there'd be no car maintenance of any kind whatsoever on the site. Because the site is extremely tight.
That's exactly where I'm going with that. Respectfully, we've heard lots of testimony over the years of people saying, no, we won't do that, no, we won't do that. And then a few months, we see tires being changed. Mm-hmm.
we're not naive. There's going to be some minor, right, little things, but we can't have oil changes or, you know, car maintenance happening there. It's not what it's zoned for. I share the concern with some of the lighting situation with the properties in the rear, and so I know that's being addressed as well. In one of the documents you do list on one of the pages, I think it's page 6 of 8, you do show trees, but on the site plan, it looks more like bushes.
In the rear?
Not in the rear, I think it's actually like facing 46.
Yeah. Yeah, it was going to be east of the sign. Just something. It was our best effort,
sure,
just to go ahead and to add some of that. We'll give a complete planting schedule. It's outside the site triangle. It's outside of anything. Again, it's easier for us just to go lower to the ground. Again, it's for the efforts of sales. As far as the oil change and stuff like that, I cannot possibly imagine it. There are no indoor facilities. There are no areas for tools and stuff like that. I mean, it would literally have to be done basically at the sidewalk level. Oil changes and stuff like that. And I'll even attest to that. It's the answer is zero.
So it sounds to me like Commissioner Acosta, Steve, we're going to need additional landscaping detail.
Part of the review comments is to, I'll suggest taking another look at the tree removal situation.
Okay.
There's some vegetation out there. The explanation of what that is going to dictate what has to be planted and if there's any relief required. As I understand the plans right now, there's proposed planters.
Right.
So these are shrubs that are technically removable, not trees. So just a kind of an all-encompassing response to what's being removed and what's being proposed and how it's beneficial.
That would be great to sort of see what species we're looking at. One of the other issues, respectfully again, is we get site plans. They say they're going to plant X, Y, Z, and they don't. They don't care for them. They die. And so we want to make sure we have a deficit of trees already in the community.
Okay.
So anything that cut needs to be replaced, and we want to make sure that it conforms to whatever you're showing us. So it is more important more than ever. I think those were all the questions that I had.
Any other board member have questions?
I'd love to hear a little bit more from you, sir, and your thoughts and concerns.
Part of me would like to defer them to respond to the comment letter. There's a couple substantial things there that I think just need to get ironed out and presented back to the board so
yep.
You guys all understand what you're looking at here. Obviously, we touched on the variances. A lot of that are non-conforming situations, but there's still variances. There's a few waivers. I personally didn't see too many issues with the waivers that were requested, mostly related to flood zones and wetlands areas. The site obviously is not impacted by those items. The stormwater side, just for the board's benefit, I think an explanation of the dry well systems would be good to hear at the next meeting, how that works, what's happening. The signs, I think we touched on a lot of that. What I heard was that the signs will comply with the ordinance. So seeing those revisions, I think would be helpful.
And
kind of
I think the ordinance has no streamers in the
Yeah.
It's pretty rigid.
It's a rigid sign ordinance. So I would, same kind of comments of for the lighting schedule, making sure we comment on compliance there. I would suggest the same kind of summary table. For the
okay.
And just as a heads up, the enforcement group in Dover is pretty vigilant.
Definitely.
Is that a good way of putting it?
They are now.
We could be even more.
We're really warming up to the task, I think. So, with all the redevelopment going on and stuff, there's not much monkeying around. I'm not blaming you.
No.
You don't do a whole lot of this. But Dover's really changing, I think, as we speak, to really try and make sure that all of the efforts that all of the electeds
good fruit.
No salesmen on roller skates, no streamers, no fancy balloons. That's
well, it's actually interesting that when you said balloon, it sparked a thought. Sometimes dealerships will adhere a balloon to a car,
right?
Or they have those little things that go like this.
I'd be totally okay with one of them.
What's that?
I'd be totally okay with one of those things.
Listen, cool. if the town has an ordinance, okay, and of a specific nature, whether I'm saying whether personally, I mean, I do this throughout the state and so on, whether we think it's this way, that way, the other way, it's why we chose this town. If anything, it raises the standard and it raises the quality.
Educate me, did the property change hands recently? Or is this the same owner who's now...
In the process of
changing hands, assuming
correct.
This is approved.
Correct.
Is it owned by Lot 8, that adjacent property, or no?
I'm not aware.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who owns Lot 8, but the owner of this property, like the current owner, is the Alba Negia Trust. So I'm not sure if they own the adjacent lot. I don't think so.
Okay.
But
I'm not familiar.
Just curious. Steve, anything else you're trying?
I think we get on the big ideas.
Yeah. Board doesn't object since we really didn't start a hearing, as far as I'm concerned. Any of the members that are coming the next time will not have to listen. I mean, they can. I'm not telling them not to. But the hearing will start the next time. This was a work session where we tried to figure out some stuff. If you have any, by doing it this way, you have any questions. If you have any questions, you can certainly talk to me. More importantly, you can talk to these two guys as the planner and engineer to help you vet out stuff so that the hearing...
It's appreciated. It's a plus.
Is it
yeah. Yeah, so... I have one thing that I want to ask Steve, then another thing which I've just noticed. It says it's existing nonconforming. So have we provided approval for this site to be used in this way before?
That's a fair question that I'm going to ask you a little bit more homework.
Because the comment was made earlier that it's, quote, always been a used car lot.
That's right.
So if that's the case, then the answer is yes, I would think.
I remember.
I recall that, yeah. I recall that. I recall the conversation with the building department.
The listing should
know, I would think.
Yeah, that's a conversation I have to have with Phil. I know that it's been a used car lot going back through the aerials, but what exists in terms of approvals, I don't know that.
Yeah, but due to the more pronounced development of it, they thought that we should come to the board for that reason.
The other thing, which I've just noticed while looking at the list of the people within 200 feet, is I believe a board member may have a conflict.
The good folks here.
One of the people here tonight, unless that's a different person.
What's
it? Commissioner Roman.
What?
It says you own a property at 11 South Essex Street.
Uh-huh. Is that within the 20 feet? I mean, that's pretty far.
Yeah. It's on the list.
Really?
So congratulations. You're even shorter than this.
I don't have to come next time, then.
You can't, yeah. I mean, not for that hearing.
Next time you still got the utility.
Okay. Well, it'll be your opportunity to come up here and then talk and then comment and then come back and ask yourself questions.
This seems so far away.
Where is that anyway?
No, if you look on 2 of 8, that's your 200 buffer zone. Essex Street is nowhere near that.
It's listed.
That's far away. Right? Well, here's the bottom line. You should check carefully the list that you bought from Dover, make sure the list is accurate.
Yeah.
And that way we won't have to worry about it. I never depend
your business address, though?
That's my business address.
Do you own a...
We own the property. We own the building.
You don't own any properties in this 200 zone?
No, that's why I'm... Actually, the longest time building is closer than this location.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is saying, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. It is not saying the 11 South Essex Street is within the 200 feet. It is saying that block 2030, lot 6 is within the 200 feet, which it is. It is two blocks down. Correct. No, that's block 1318. Where's 2030?
2030
is going
to
be...
The one to the right.
Yeah, it's...
The one across the street.
Yep.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night. Lot 6 is outside the buffer zone, though. You know what? We don't need to solve that. We should get an updated list. And we should provide a list and depend upon it. And if one of the commissioners is on the updated list, then he has the night off. If you watch Thursday night football, if he is not on the list, then he's going to have to work with the rest of us. It's all we got.
No problem. I don't think, like I said, the...
Okay, what else we got?
It's close.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
It's just a complete editorial. You know, that area, that particular site has been vacant for a long time. And while we would love to see an improvement there, it just needs to make sense, right? It needs to make sense for the community, for the neighbors, for Route 46, that traffic. Can't be a detriment to it. It's already an area that can be congested, particularly during business hours, school drop-off, right? There's a local, both middle school and elementary school, where there's a lot of children using that that sidewalk there. So we're now proposing, you know, additional vehicles potentially in and out. So we got to be... I'm glad that we're sort of postponing this a little bit. I just want us to be really thoughtful.
That's fine. I mean, there are some neat, clean facts about it. I mean, there's only a couple of parking spaces for, you know, empty for available patrons and so on and so forth. It has nothing to do with any business, a convenience store, let alone fast food that has 200, 300, 400, 500. If there's ingress and egress, you can only see all those cars. Remember, those are products. So if they have 2 or 3 cars, 5 cars, 10 cars a day, that's huge. Because what do they expect to sell? 5 cars a week? I would love to have that business. So again, you can go ahead and dissect it piece by piece. There is some history that has been there and so on. If we had 3 inches of reports from motor vehicles and DOT, we would have evidence. So I think
we just want to be thoughtful.
That's fine. And we want to do the same.
I think too, it's slightly different than like your traditional used car. I believe, and the owner will speak to this better, but they do a lot of sales on the internet, like individual auctions. So I don't know if there's going to be a ton of vehicles sitting at the lot, just because the nature of the business, right? If he buys a car and has it sitting there, I think a lot of times he lines up the customer, uses the internet, then they kind of just come to the lot and pick it up. Hey, I want a BMW. He'll get it at the auction, have it at the lot ready for them to pick up. I don't think he has like a large inventory based on his other site.
We have discussed that just recently. It has really no bearing. I had to purchase 2 cars. They were out of state. I bought them sight unseen. And they were used. It was a kind of leap of faith on my part. But because of the internet sales, because of the availability of someone to do their homework, because you can grab a VIN number from everything, put it to Google and get all the information and so on, when a person gets there, they're at 80-90%. The final number, I guess kick a tire, as they say, take a look at it so you can put the boots on the ground or at least look at it. The majority of the sale is done. I think it's just general common knowledge. We understand that.
20 feet. Right?
So, nevertheless, thank you for the comments.
So do we need to make a motion to carry this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
I have a new question. customers. Somebody walks in, somebody's going to drive there. Where are they going to park?
They're
going to
park there.
There's...
Absolutely.
I think I only saw one park.
A couple spots.
Okay, I'm just speaking about this next.
That's just another heads up.
Yeah, that's just a thing. It just hit me now.
All right, so I guess we need a motion to carry to the next meeting, which is on what date?
October 2nd.
Motion to carry. And yes.
I'll make the motion to carry this to the next meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.